Serving New York State and Southern Ontario, you're listening to 99.5 WDCX FM Buffalo, WDCX HD1 Buffalo, and WDCZ AM 970 Buffalo, WDCX AM 990 Rochester, and WDCX HD1 Rochester, and WDCD AM 1540 Albany. This is Lifeline with Neil Boron. To join the conversation, call 883-5000 or 1-800-684-2848.
Back to it here on a Thursday edition of Lifeline. How did I all of a sudden become Tuesday?
I actually wanted to say to you and Mary, congratulations for becoming grandparents this week.
Thank you.
Hey,
thank
can't you. Let that go. I mean,
have I shown
thing.
You pictures yet? Hang
you
on,
did.
Let me show you.
Okay.
No, so the funniest thing happened. I was in Welland yesterday.
Yes.
And pull up to a Tim Hortons. I've got Zach in the DCX van with me. We pull up, and the lady says, hey, you got a pretty snappy-looking grandson there. And
isn't that funny?
I was looking at Zach for a second, and I'm like, what is she talking about? And then I realized she had seen a picture of my grandson on Facebook.
Well, Sandra and I really wish you and Mary the best as new grandparents, and you guys are going to be great grandparents. So
we are loving it. Mary was just texting me during the previous commercial break there, saying that she spent some time with Jacob today and that she was just absorbing it. Absolutely loving it.
You can't get a better grandmother than Mary.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so back to it here. We've got Gideon Levitam and his wife Irene in studio with us. He hosts a program that's heard at 2:30 on Sunday afternoons here on WDCX. So if you just got out at 5 and you're joining us here, we've been talking about Jesus, who is the Jewish Messiah, and how all of Scripture, including the Old Testament, ultimately points to the person of Jesus, and how all of us, Jew or Gentile, need him for salvation. And it's just so exciting to hear all of this, and obviously the journey that Gideon's been on to come to know Jesus as Messiah, how God used his wife, Irene, years ago to help point him in that direction. And she's very grateful for that because she thought he was a pretty snappy-looking guy, right? But in any case, it's a miracle story, and then together they work in a ministry called Holy Scriptures in Israel, and you can learn all about that by going to the holyscripturesinisrael.com, all right? Check it out for yourself. So Tony Miali's in studio with us as well. Tony's the one who introduced me to Gideon, and you guys have been friends for a long time.
Yes.
So just kind of having an interesting conversation today about how all of the Word of God points to Jesus. But if you want to jump in at any point with a question or comment, feel free. Let's get right back to it here. And you're going to have to help me with the name. It looks like Samer or Samir. How do I say this?
Yeah, Samer.
Samer. Okay. All right. Good to have you with us.
Yeah.
Comment?
Samer Al-Madanat. I'm originally from Jordan. I'm neighbors to Jerome and his wife. I just want to add some points regarding the witnessing. From my experience with our brothers and sisters from different nations, Muslims, as what Jesus taught us, to act and to teach. So I believe acting in front of people is the most important to live the Word of God, to show them how we act in the difficulties as we are not aware of to be in the difficulties. So I believe to live the Word of God is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. To show the love of Jesus to the other people through helping them, praying with them, from my experience, some of my friends where I used to live back home, if they are in a difficult time, I will tell them that I'm going to pray for you, and God is listening, and God is there. He will help. So this is a very important point, to live the Word of God, to show the people how God cares, especially with his people, how he handles things, how he bring all even bad things and good things to our benefits, like Now what's happening in the Middle East, you know, some people, they think it's very bad for people to, you know, how ICE is killing people and, you know, attacking people. My belief is it's not out of control of God. God is bringing now many people to Christ, you know, through these difficulties. People now, they started to know Jesus as their Savior. I know it's very hard and it's very bad to hear the news, to watch, you know, the killing, but Jesus is there, you know, God is in control. So acting and praying for people in the difficulties, like what happened in Jordan with the pilot, you know, they burned him alive. Jesus, maybe it's very bad, but you know, when people they feel scary, you know, they will come to God. They will start to open their eyes. You know, they will understand what's right, what's wrong. Is killing from God or killing people? You know, these things. You know, to act in safe and peace, to show them the peace of God in our hearts. This is the most important.
Okay. Yeah.
I would love to share a comment on that.
Absolutely,
Samir.
Tony.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Samir, for your heart. I have some friends from Iran who are of the Muslim faith, and sharing love of God, whether it's a Muslim or a Jew, it's the same thing. You share the love of God and the love of Jesus. And he had told me, he had just gone back recently back to Iran to visit his family, and that many young people are actually dreaming and seeing visions of Jesus in their sleep, that Jesus will never be void from people, even in the midst of the trials and the tribulations in the Middle East. In this, you know, you shared Samir in what's happening in Egypt and Syria and Libya. But the Almighty God is in control, mm-hmm. and that Jesus now is reaching down, and he is absolutely making himself more, revealing himself more probably now than ever in those countries. The problem is that evil is there too, and the people that come to the loving knowledge of Jesus as the Messiah may find themselves under persecution. Mm-hmm. And when I hear stories of a family with children like 5, 7, 8 years old, not willing to renounce Jesus and being killed on the spot, sometimes I wonder, is my faith that strong? By the grace of God, I pray one day that I don't have to have that kind of situation. But so in some senses, the people in the Middle East, when they come to the saving knowledge of Christ, are maybe even a little bit more stronger in their faith, in their belief in the time of crises.
Yeah,
and it is amazing, isn't it, Gideon, when you hear about these stories, what's happening in the Middle East?
Yeah, Samuel, thank you so much for your point. I was thinking of the verse, immediately came to mind, the verse in Matthew 6, where the Lord Yeshua said to the disciples, even long before he died, when he was there here on earth with his own people in Israel, in the land, in Galilee, he was saying to them, "But I say unto you," verse 44, "love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do to them good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Imagine what he was saying. Now, I want to say, in those days, those disciples have experienced persecution, rejection, and mm-hmm. all that which Yeshua was speaking about here in this gospel, the sixth chapter of Matthew. But I understand what's going on today in the Middle East, you know, in the areas of Iran, Iraq, I should say, even Jordan, and that you have mentioned, and Syria, and so on, believers, those who are truly believers, what they have to experience. We have no idea, those of us who live right now in North America, have
You're
no
right.
idea what these believers, these brothers and sisters of ours in the Messiah, are experiencing. May God give them the needed grace for the season.
Amen. Simple question, but somebody might say, are you an added target or a more interesting target, given the fact that you're not only a Jew, you're a believer in Jesus?
Well,
because
definitely.
There's hatred towards Jews and Christians. You're both.
Well, yes. Well, you know, the anti-Semitism, Brother Neil, is rising today. Hitler did not distinguish between Jewish people who did not believe in Yeshua and Jewish people who do believe in Yeshua. So persecution of Jewish people is on the rise, just the same like persecution of Christians is on the rise, and really there is a link, because Israel, the people of the book, Christians, right, are people who believe in Jesus the Messiah. I mean, this is the world. This world do not want anything that has to do with the living God, the true and living God.
All right, great question. Back with more in just a moment. Gideon Levitam, his wife Irene in studio with us. Tony Miali's here as well. Tony will be here for at least a few more minutes. Can you guys stick around for a bit? All right, we'll continue the conversation. More of your phone calls coming up, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Got a text message as well coming up in just a second.
This is a great conversation. Just imagine how cool it would be if Neil knew what you had to say about it. Call him at 716-883-5000. Or toll-free, 800-684-2840.
All right, back to it. And I want to get to a text question here, if I can. Just give me a second. Going back to the Sabbath question. The question is simply this, that, you know, if the Sabbath is a commandment, you know, keeping the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, where does this leave us with regard to the rest of the commandments? Like, if you're saying, you know, based on your answer to our previous caller, if you're saying that the day that you worship Jesus is not that important, then are you saying that the other commandments aren't? And the reason I'm asking the question, this is a good one, has to do with who is Jesus then? And has he abolished the law or fulfilled the law? And what does this mean for us today? Is it not important that we don't, you know, take the life of our neighbor, or that we lie, or that we're disobedient to parents, and all of that we covet? I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. Is that not important anymore? Or who is Jesus in light of all this? And what does grace mean? And what is the new covenant as it's described in Hebrews chapter 8? What is this new covenant? And what are we under today? Old Testament law or grace?
Well, had we been under the law in a way it was given to Israel some 3,500 years ago, mm-hmm, any violation of the Shabbat day was desperately a judgment from God. Right. Now, 2,000 years already passed by since Jesus the Messiah died on the cross, about 2,000 years. Well, obviously, the vast majority of Christians, those who believe in Yeshua the Messiah, do not keep Shabbat. They meet on a different day, on the first day of the week, and they don't keep the Shabbat the way it was given to Israel. So obviously, we can see that something happened at the new covenant that God have given to the people.
Before you go on, can we just back up for a minute? 3,500 years ago, if somebody had violated the Sabbath, let's say they had email back then, and they wrote an email on the Sabbath, they were deserving of death?
Well, according to Scripture, it was a punishment in connection with violation of the Shabbat day. There's no doubt about it. And therefore, no manner of work shall be done on that day.
Right.
People working today on the Shabbat day and so on. So I think we should distinguish, of course, the other commandment. All commandments are commandments of the Lord. All commandment, ultimately, we are responsible to submit to them, to obey to them. And
it is an interesting that King David ate corn from the field on the Sabbath day, and yet that was okay. And yet Jesus healed a man, and the Pharisees and Sadducees say to him, you know, you did evil on the Sabbath. He says, I healed a man. If your donkey fell in the ditch, who would not pick up that donkey on the Sabbath? But yet, I healed somebody on the Sabbath, and yet you want to hate me or stone me.
Right.
It's amazing. So, you know, who is the Shabbat? It's Jesus. Jesus is the Sabbath. He is the Sabbath rest, the fulfillment of the law.
Right. Okay. So I think it is
important to distinguish. Now, of course, we are not to murder. We are not to steal. Mm-hmm. We are not to these. These apply to the present day period of time in which we live in the church age. But in connection with the Shabbat, I would distinguish this, because it specifically apply to the nation of Israel. Remember, the Shabbat was given to the nation of Israel. Exodus chapter 31 clearly say that this is a covenant sign between God and the nation of Israel. We may, if we wish, keep a certain day today unto the Lord, but it we must distinguish it in a church age in which we live in, Jew and Gentile united in the body of Messiah, that is not compulsory upon...
You referenced Romans 14 earlier.
Yes.
It says there, one man regards one day above another, another regards every day alike, let each man be fully convinced in his own mind.
Right.
Is that applicable to Jews and Gentiles?
Yes, of course. Of course, believers.
Right. We're
talking about believers.
Believers.
The rest of the nation, by the way, even among our own people today as a nation, not every Jewish person keeps the Shabbat the way God had given to us in the law years ago. So many of the vast majority of our Jewish people are still not keeping this the way that God had given this to our nation. It is the conservative, religious Jewish people who do keep the Shabbat, but there's a lot of rabbinical influence part of the keeping
of the Shabbat.
And Jesus
summed up the law as love your God with all your heart and love your fellow man. Within that, if you're loving your fellow man, you're not going to murder him, you're not going to covet his things, and you're not going to covet or defame them.
Yeah, okay, so, and in light of that, is that what this means in Hebrews 8 when you read, and of course it's a quotation from the Old Testament, but for this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, this is the new covenant, this is what it is. For this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, after those days, the Lord says, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It goes on from there. But in other words, based on what Tony's saying, are we under the words of Jesus that say, love God and love your neighbor, and that sums up all the law and the prophets, or are we under the Ten Commandments?
Well, the quotation, the book of Hebrews was written to Hebrew believers. Look back, 2,000 years ago, the apostle, we don't know who wrote it, mm-hmm. because we don't have the writer mentioned, but he wrote it to Hebrew believers in Jesus the Messiah. And he was quoting to them Jeremiah 31, and remember, the new covenant was not made with the church, it was made with Israel. Notice the text that you just read, Neil. It's the text says, I will make a new covenant, behold, the days come, says the Lord, and I will make a new covenant with whom? With the house of Israel. And with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their father in the days that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. So Israel as a nation broke the old covenant, we'll mm-hmm. say, the Torah that was given to the nation. And God promised to make a new covenant on the basis of the finished work of the Messiah, Yeshua.
Amen.
The bloodshed of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. So the covenant was made with Israel as a nation, while Israel as a nation still waiting to come into enjoyment of this covenant, believers, Jew and Gentile, today who believe in Jesus, can come under the blessing of this covenant. But the covenant in itself was made with the house of Judah and the house of Israel.
So that's saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, that a Gentile was never under the law and is not under the law,
no.
based upon grace.
The covenant is still say. You still read the text again in Hebrews chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 10. Those covenants, again, it says, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then should not a place have been sought for a second one. But finding fault in them, namely Israel, he says, behold, the days come, the Lord said, I will make a new covenant. And so on, he's making a new covenant with Israel, finding fault with not with the old covenant, but with Israel, with the people, with humanity. Men fail, not God's law.
Last question we've got while Tony's with us. He's going to have to leave the conversation in a moment. But Gideon and his wife, Irene, can stick around. Jerry, you've got a question. What's up, Jerry?
The more I listen to you, the more questions pop into my head.
That's the problem with this program. And then you're not going to be able to sleep tonight. Blame it on these guys.
Well, that's a good thing. Yeah. More questions.
Okay, the big question is, Jesus was born as a Jew, grew up as a Jew, as a rabbi. Then at the time of his crucifixion, Christianity crept into life. And then after his crucifixion, it became an ongoing thing. Now, where did we lose Judaism to Christianity? If he was born a Jew, raised as a Jew, does Christianity play the part with Judaism when they're running hand in hand?
Okay, let me try to answer that. Let me just remind you that according to Ephesians chapter 3, the church was a mystery hid in God and was not revealed unto man until the coming of the Messiah. In other words, up till the time of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah, the church per se was a mystery. It was hid in God. In other words, it was not yet revealed. Once the Messiah came and was rejected by the vast majority of our own people, was not accepted, then the first believers, they happened to be, of course, Jewish believers, they have had to learn that now the gospel is to be taken far beyond the borders of our land, the land of Israel, to many nations around the world. And so Israel as a nation now, you might say, it's almost like the clock pause for a while until God is going to restore Israel at the end of the church age. It didn't creep in. It was in the plan of God. If you read Ephesians chapter 3, if you'll bear with me, and I'll read this verse that the Apostle Paul have said in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. Let me just read this to you if we have this time. The Apostle Paul said in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as he wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of the Messiah. Listen to this, verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 3, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles by the Spirit of God. In other words, the church age was a mystery, was hid in God, was not revealed to men. So every time when God spoke to our forefathers through the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, he only spoke about Israel in connection with the first coming of the Messiah and Israel in connection with the second coming of the Messiah. That's why we need to understand that the church age is like in a coma. It's in between the first coming and the second coming of the Messiah. We can see it clearly in the seven feasts of the Lord found in Leviticus chapter 23, which we can talk a little bit later on.
And I did want to make a good point, Jerry. That was a great question, because Christianity really just means we are followers of Christ, the Messiah. So the word Christianity is not a new religion. The word Christianity just means follower of this Jewish Messiah who was sent by the Almighty, the Father.
Right, but still we might say it's a new entity. It began with the resurrection of the Messiah, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah. Israel as a nation, is waiting the full restoration as a nation. In the meanwhile, God building what is called one new man, yes, making of the twine, Jew and Gentile, united into one body.
Mm-hmm. And we got to take a break, but the church does not replace Israel.
That is essential. And that's why we have to understand the church is a new entity, but it's once the church age will conclude, God will definitely restore Israel, as we have just read in Romans 11, you know, that once they're going to accept him, their fullness, when the Israel will be restored, what a blessing Israel as a nation will be to the nations of the world.
And we will be one body.
Well, the church is distinct from Israel, but there was one people of God at the end.
Love the sound of that. Jerry, great question. We got to take a break. We'll be back. Tony, do you need to leave us?
I do, and I want to say so much thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. The privilege to be on here today.
Man, thanks for joining us. Thanks for sticking around as long as you did. We'll be in touch.
God bless.
Tony Miali checking out, but Gideon and his wife Irene going to stick around. We'll continue the conversation. Thanks for listening to Lifeline here on WDCX. All right, fascinating conversation today with Gideon Levitam and his wife Irene. Tony Miali, a mutual friend, all of them from Niagara on the Lake area, the Niagara region, over here today to talk about Jesus and how the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, all points to the coming Messiah. Gideon hosts a program that's heard Sundays here on WDCX called Holy Scriptures and Israel. So you can check them out online at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You can email him, Gideon@holyscripturesandisrael.com. And, of course, you know, the program airs at 2:30 p.m. on Sundays, so don't miss the opportunity to check them out here on WDCX. But let's get right back to it. Is it Shanti? Am I saying this correct? Shanti in Toronto, I think, is next. You had a question.
You got it correct, man.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm listening to the program. I'm a bit confused in the sense that I'm hearing that it's not okay to kill. I'm hearing that it's not okay to steal. But it's not okay to keep the Sabbath. And I just want to, what James 2 and verse 10 states that if we falter in one, we actually break all.
All right, yeah, and hang on a second. So he's got a legitimate point here. You can't pick and choose. If we're saying that clearly it's not okay to kill, but we're under some other system here called grace, then what happens to the Sabbath? And interestingly enough, you pointed something out that didn't come up live on the air. You talked about it during a commercial break. When does the Sabbath actually begin for a Jew, and when is the traditional Christian Sabbath, when does that begin?
Biblical days begin always from even. From even to even ye shall celebrate your Shabbat, the book of Leviticus teaches us. In other words, Shabbat, or any day, begins always after sundown. This is the biblical
teaching. Just to be clear, Sunday for a Jewish person essentially is from Saturday at sundown to Sunday at sundown.
Right. So from biblical point of view, the biblical accounting does not begin from midnight to midnight. It's always from even to even. So Shabbat began actually on Friday night and end on Saturday night after sundown. The point is, I don't think we clearly said anywhere that it's okay. We have to submit to the word of God, but obviously in light of the day that called the Shabbat, it is not binding upon us today, not because it is God did not want Israel, his people, to celebrate or to keep the Shabbat. It's not binding upon the church. It was given to Israel as a nation. Once the church had begun, this was not binding upon the church, because the Shabbat was a covenant that God made with Israel as a nation. That's why read Exodus 31. It is a covenant signed between God and Israel. And that's why we distinguish the Shabbat from all the other commandments that God had given, not because we are to violate the violent this day, but because we are not under the binding of keeping that day. And therefore, look at the church history. How many of the church, of the believers in the church age of 2,000 years do or ever kept the Shabbat? Believers in general gather together to meet around the Lord Jesus the Messiah on the first day of the week. Now, if anybody wishes to gather together on Saturday, that's fine. But I'm saying that it's not binding the way that it was binding upon the nation of Israel.
All right. And a practical question, for the uninformed here. The previous caller referenced James, and one of the things that we learn in the book of James is that if someone stumbles in one point of the law, they've essentially broken all of it. You're guilty of all of it. Who on the planet ever, including Moses, Abraham, of course that's pre-law, but I'm just saying, who in that we read in all of Scripture ever kept the law without stumbling in a single point?
Well, the purpose of the writing of the book of James is to show us that we all, if we sin in anything, if we stumble in anything, we are guilty, and therefore we needed forgiveness. And therefore the apostle James wrote, whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend in one. In other words, he was really saying to the ones from whom he wrote, he says, listen, if one claim that he have fulfilled the law fully, well, it's a truth, it's not, is there, because even if you violated one law, you violated all. The point in James 2, it's not to tell us that we should keep the Shabbat. The point in James 2 to show us why we needed so much the person of the Messiah to forgive our sins, because we couldn't keep the whole law, none of us.
Because it's interesting that people use the book of James at times where it talks about, faith without works is dead, to point themselves back to Mosaic law and say, well, we probably need the law, right? Because we need to show by our works how sincere we are as followers of Jesus Christ. But what I'm getting at is no one ever was able to keep the law. We're complete failures at it. And the law has then accomplished its purpose. It's pointed us to Jesus and our need for a Savior. So then why would anyone say, well, now that I understand who Jesus is and what he's accomplished for me, I better go back and try to start keeping the law that I was never able to keep before, and I will once again be guilty of all of it. If you're going to live by the law, you're going to die by the law, to quote a famous rock and roll song, right? But I guess, what is the believer's relationship with the law? Well, it's a simple way to say that.
Right. And so the believer relationship with the law is to understand the law, in especially in connection. We are talking a lot about the Shabbat, it seems to be today, and especially to show us that the law couldn't help us. That's why we needed the person of the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. He is the only one who kept the law fully. He is the only one who fulfilled the law. He is the one that the law was the goal to lead us to the Messiah.
Right.
That was the purpose of the law. It is to lead us to Christ, to the Mashiach.
All right. Shanti, thanks for the call. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Going to get ready to wrap things up here. In the final few minutes coming up, Ian, we'll get to you and the rest of your phone calls. If we can, we'll try to sneak some more in. 1-800-684-2848 or 883-5000. You're listening to Lifeline on WDCX. All right, we're back at it with Gideon Levitam, his wife Irene in studio as well. And what a fascinating story about how Irene was used by God to help him come to faith in Christ. What was your, just real quick, Irene, but what was your own spiritual background as a young person? Were you raised in Christianity?
Well, when I was probably 5 years old, my parents lived next door to two spinster sisters.
Uh-huh.
And my parents were immigrants. My mother's Austrian, my father Ukrainian. So they were Catholic and Greek Orthodox. And they witnessed to my parents, and my parents got saved when I was about 5 years old. And so I was brought up in a Christian home, you know,
right,
from when I was young. And I think that we always had a love for Israel in our home, and my parents, you know, always, we listened,
right,
to Christian radio, and so we were familiar. Even when Gideon, I met Gideon, I knew where to get literature for him, for a Jewish, you know, person. And so I was surrounded by believers growing up, as Gideon was when he first came to Canada.
Right.
So it was kind of, he got bombarded in a way with all these Christians who, you know, really wanted to, right, help him find who the Messiah was.
Now, being surrounded by Christians doesn't make you a Christian.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. So when I was about 8 years old, in those days, you know, we had evangelical meetings, tent meetings, you know.
Right.
They were very common at that age. So when I was 8 years old, we went to some evangelistic meetings, and I went forward to accept the Lord.
Okay, so at eight years old is when you said, Jesus, I want you to be my Messiah.
Yes, right.
Love that. Yeah.
And then when I was 12 years old, I was baptized.
Oh, that's sweet. Love that story. And then, obviously, you were 18 at the kibbutz, or 19, I think?
I was 18 at the kibbutz, yes.
In Israel, when she met Gideon, led him to faith in Christ, ultimately over a course of time, came to,
yes,
to be a believer, but it was her influence originally that pointed,
yes,
you in the direction of Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Unbelievable.
Yes. Yes.
All right, Ian, let's get to you quickly, and we're down to just a couple of minutes left. Ian, quick question or comment?
Just a quick comment.
Sure.
You know, and it has to do about the whole Sabbath discussion, but every commandment from the Old Testament is repeated in the New Testament except for the Sabbath commandment. So there's something different about the Sabbath day, right? And the other point is that, you know, the Lord Jesus, not only did he fulfill the law, but he also took the moral commandments of the law and he elevated them, right? He said, you know, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, if you look on a woman to lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery, right? So he takes those points of the law and he elevates them even higher. And
yeah, well, hang on, Ian, hang on one second.
Of course, we're not law keepers, but I think the bright thing here is,
right,
that at one day I am going to be of such pure holiness in the presence of the Son of God that I also will be there, you know?
Okay. Well, here's something to think about, Ian, and it's one of the things I would like to encourage you to do if you get a chance. Listen on Monday This coming Monday, Andrew Farley will be with us. He's author of a book called The Naked Gospel, Seven Lies and the Truth That Sets You Free is the name of the series we're doing with him. And one of the things that he points out, and we don't have time to go into this in any kind of depth, but Jesus, when he was talking, as you were saying there, about the law, saying if you even think of a woman to lust after in your heart, you've committed adultery, he was talking primarily to the Pharisees, not exclusively, but primarily to the Pharisees who thought they were keeping the law. And he was helping them to say, even you, Pharisees, need Jesus, ultimately, trying to help them see their need for a Savior. And at that point, he had not yet died and shed his blood. The new covenant had not come into effect. So even though you read it in the book of Matthew, the new covenant wasn't in effect until the shedding of blood, yeah. At which point God ushered in a brand new covenant. So anyway, your thoughts, Gideon?
Well, I also think of the fact, and thank you so much, Ian, for your statement. I think it is important what you just said. You see, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, he said to them in chapter 10, "Brother, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved." And then he says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness," and notice what he says, "have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And then he says in verse 4, "For Christ," for the Mashiach, the Messiah, "is the end or the goal of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." In other words, when the Messiah came, the whole law pointed to the person of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Everything, he was the goal, he was the end, he was the telos, the one that is ultimately brought about, you might say, the fulfillment of the law. So God's law is holy and pure. The problem is not with God's law. The problem is with man's sin nature. And that's why we needed him to come to this world. So in the church age in which we live in, one thing we are not, it's not binding upon us, is that specifically in connection with the Shabbat day, it was given to Israel as a nation. Again, I'm using Romans 14. A believer may seek to worship, to come, to gather together, or to keep a day, you might say, but really early first century believers met and gathered together on the first day of the week, resurrection a day, a time in which the Messiah rose and finished the work for us on the tree. And it happened, by the way, in those days, it was an evening meeting. It was when they came together, they met at the evening time, Saturday after sundown, which was the first day of the week.
Wow. All right. We'll be back to get ready and wrap things up here in just a moment. Ian, thanks for your phone call. More of Lifeline and our final conclusions here with Gideon Levitan. He's can be heard Sunday afternoons, 2:30 on WDCX, Holy Scriptures and Israel. Find him online at holyscripturesandisrael.com. All right, so I've got a question for you. You host this program on Sundays called Holy Scriptures and Israel, and it's a fascinating program. Now that I'm familiar with who you are, I've been listening in on Sunday afternoons, and you do a fantastic job. How does that thing get supported? Is it just listeners who donate to the ministry that keep you on the air? How does that work?
Well, it is obviously, we wish that it will be also listeners. It's something that is in a process of growth. We really pray that listeners who listen to the program and people who believe in our ministry among our Jewish people will support also not only prayerfully but also financially, and they can do so through our website or through our address, whichever way they would like to do so.
What is the ultimate burden of your heart? I mean, clearly today there have been a lot of conversation about the law and how it applies to the church today, and so there was a lot of Gentile conversation going on as well, and rightfully so. That's a lot of curiosity about that stuff. But is your heart to reach the Jewish people with the gospel of Jesus Christ ultimately?
Yeah, I guess it is a twofold. We, on the one hand, to share with my people the fact that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah from the Word of God. This is one thing, that they will come to know him as their Lord, Savior, and Messiah. But also to share with Christians, to learn about how to reach Jewish people, how to share with a Jewish friend the message of the gospel, to also understand that God has a plan for Israel, not to say God finished with Israel, God finished with the Jews, now it's us, and Israel have no more future. This is the two aspects of our ministry. Number one, to share the message with our own people that Yeshua is the Messiah. Number two, to teach Christian about the Jewish faith or roots of their faith, you know.
As people become familiar with your ministry, and Lord willing, God will raise up those who will also offer support to keep this ministry going and growing. Just reach you through the website or through your email? Is that how people can connect with you?
If anybody wants to support Holy Scriptures in Israel, they can do it through the website. It's holyscripturesinisrael.com. If they have a way to be receipted if they're in Canada, but if they are not in Canada, in the USA, they can, and they want to be receipted, there is a way in which they can see it on our website and way in which they can send any donation towards our ministry, and they will be receipted as well.
Wow, that's fabulous. All right, so it's holyscripturesandisrael.com, or you can email Gideon, gideon@holyscripturesandisrael.com. Sure, appreciate that. What else?
Well, I really appreciate that we can say to the listeners, shalom, shalom. We really appreciate the time that they have listened to the program. And we thank you, Brother Neil, for the time that
you're
we have
welcome.
Been here together. My wife, Irene, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you for leading him to Jesus. Thank you so much, both of you. God bless you, and we'll look forward to talking again sometime soon.
God bless you. Shalom, shalom.
All right. For Steve-O and Zach, man, it's Neil saying good night, and God bless, Lord willing. We'll see you tomorrow, Fun Friday, right here on WDCX.